any moral victory, but she's going to have to revamp her campaign. It's all over. You know, what's interesting to me is, I don't know, it was renewed faith in the American people. Here it was, Hillary Clinton, who the media had attacked. You know, she was stony, she was indifferent, she was a woman with no feelings. And she came back and showed that, yes, she's human. No, she's not a robot. Yes, she has feelings. In fact, when a friendly question was posed to her about how difficult the campaign is, and she showed a little bit of emotion, then what do they say? Oh, well, you know, a woman getting all teary-eyed, and she, you know, my God, she didn't cry. She just got a little moist in her eyes. I would hope that all of us have enough emotion to do that. At which point, John Edwards, who I like on a lot of things and I agree with about corporations, said something pretty terrible. He suggested that maybe she was unfit because she got a little bit emotional. Hey now, that's pretty sexist, you know. And then a wonderful thing happened. The voters said, hey, media, stay out of it. It's not your decision. It's our decision. We don't want this race to be over yet. And I'll tell you, one of the things that I think most hurt Barack Obama, and remember, I'm still undecided. I may well vote for the guy, and I'll tell you why. I'm probably still leaning toward voting for him in a minute. But for a second, this is Hillary's moment, and I'm going to give it to her. One of the most meaningful moments was in the Saturday night debate, and I hope you had a chance to watch that debate out of New Hampshire. Just like I hope you'll have a chance to watch the next debate in Nevada. They're getting much better, frankly. One of the moments that really crystallized it was when the moderator asked Hillary Clinton, said, hey, you know, Hillary, one of the things about you that people say is that you're very competent, but they don't think you're very likable. And she said, oh, well, that hurts my feelings, which was a wonderful response, one of the most human responses we've ever seen from Hillary Clinton. It was sweet and it was funny and it was showing that, hey, you know, she is human. But then I thought Barack Obama, and you know, these things are, they're very, you can't really blame a guy. I mean, I've said many a thing on radio that I wish I could take back just a little bit of. He said to her for a laugh, he said, Hillary, you're likable enough. And I remember at the time thinking, ooh, just missed it. Just missed it, Barack Obama. Here she said, you know, that hurts my feelings. And then she said in a very, I thought, moving moment, you know, Barack's a likable guy. And I appreciated that. As a Democrat, I appreciated her saying that because he is a likable guy and he is inspiring. And the words he says does tug right at the heartstrings of where I stand, of where most Democrats stand, of where, dare I say, most Americans stand. And so she said, he's a likable guy. But, you know, I think that, you know, I'm pretty likable. And then, but Barack Obama said, Hillary, you're likable enough. And I remember thinking, ooh, you should have said, Barack Obama, you should have said, Hillary, you're likable. I like Hillary. And that would have given the joke done, and he would have shown his proper props for Hillary, and we would have moved on. But when he said, you're likable enough, that was a little condescending. Barack Obama had thought he had the race locked up. Why shouldn't he think that? Hell, it's what the media said, right? They told him it was locked up. The polls showed him, you know, 12 points ahead. His music at the end of his speech was signed, sealed, and delivered. No. You see, what the media doesn't understand, and what I dare say Clinton and Obama didn't understand but understand now, is nobody likes this thing to be locked up. When Hillary Clinton was projecting inevitability, we all got mad at Hillary, and rightly so. And the voters of Iowa said, hey, Hillary, there's nothing inevitable about you. You've got to work for this. And then when she got hit, and hit hard in Iowa, and was forced to really go down into the depths of her soul and figure out what she was fighting for, and to not treat this as some prize. Remember, we had a president for 7 years who's son of the former president, who treats his country like a kingdom who treated his nomination like, oh, well, you know, it was deserved. My presidency, yeah, well, of course, I'm Prince George. I get whatever I want, right? We've had this. And Hillary Clinton was forced to reach down the depths of her soul. She put it brilliantly. She said, I listened to you, and in listening to you, I found my voice. And she decided to just sit and go into the night, as her husband had done, and listen and talk to voters. She worked hard. And while she was doing this, it was Barack Obama's time to feel the hubris. It was Barack Obama's time to wait for his coronation to say it is a movement, it can't be stopped. And you know what? The New Hampshire voters said, hey, not so fast, Barack Obama. We like you. You're inspiring. You're a good man. You have a lot of hope for the future. But you don't deserve a coronation either, friend. And so I'm very happy. I'm very happy about both Iowa and New Hampshire. I want them to fight for it. I don't want this nomination to be over. And I'm just proud of the voters for telling the media, hey, stop it. Don't choose our leaders. We'll choose our own leaders. Thank you very much. So I don't know. I was just pleased as punch. I mean, here you had the sniveling Dick Morris. And he is sniveling. Dick Morris is like the scum at the bottom of your foot that you want to scrape off the sidewalk, but it just still sticks there. Dick Morris, who, you know, was a Republican, but toadied up to Bill Clinton to be his advisor. Bill Clinton, to his discredit, used him for a little while until it was found out that Dick Morris was whispering Clinton's secrets to his prostitute. He was properly fired, and since then he hates the Clintons. Oh, Hillary Clinton would be a terrible president, he said. Yeah, well, you know, you're just the kind of guy who would tell us, Dick Morris, you who is paid hack to say anything. And I heard him say, you know, it's over. Clinton year is over. The voters, 10% of Iowa, have spoken. Ah, it was just great. It was just great. New York Post, big headlines, panic. Hillary Clinton, she's doing just fine. So I'm glad for all of them. I'm happy for John Edwards. I'm happy he's continuing the campaign. I do think that John Edwards has pretty much limited his campaign to one note. But, oh, what a good note it is. What a good note it is. Talking about the power of corporate greed, there's nothing, I'm on nothing more important, but it's hard to think of anything more important than that. You go, John Edwards. So I'm in an embarrassment of riches. I like all the Democratic candidates. Now, you know, to be fair, I would prefer Al Gore over any of them. Al, it's not too late. Jump in. No, I know it's too late. I mean, I really like Al Gore, but I like all of them. I really do. I'll tell you this. I heard the speeches. I think each of them, in their own way, is working very hard to do what's best for America, to look out for the little guy, to overturn the horrors of the Bush era. And I just want a Democrat. I just want a Democrat. I don't want a Republican Supreme Court. So who do I want? I want to hear from you who you want, why you want that person, and just really what you see. You know, there's so many things about each of them. I'll tell you, Obama is incredibly inspiring. It's wonderful how he's bringing so many young people into the system. To see that kind of dream, to see people uplifted, we haven't seen that in a very long time. He does talk beyond partisanship, and that brings in the independents. And that's a good thing, because we need the independents to beat the Republicans. And yet, would Barack Obama be tough enough with the Republicans? Would he? Because we need a tough president. We need someone who understands that the Republicans are going to lie, cheat, and steal every chance they get. We need someone who plays tough. And I think Hillary does play tough. But can she draw in the independents? Can she actually beat the Republicans? And does she have enough heart? Well, she showed some, maybe not as much as Barack Obama has. It's a tough choice. But in this hour, I want to hear from you. I want to know what your choice is, why that choice is. Tell me where you're from, when you're going to vote. How do you feel about the fact that this election isn't over? And heck, if you want to talk about the Republicans, we could talk about them too. About John McCain, who frankly I fear because I think he is the most electable of the Republicans. and that whole race as well. Join in. It's all about politics, election, presidential election 2008. Let me know what you think. The toll-free number is 888-488-MARK or call 877-4-HEAD-ON. We'll be right back after this.
You're listening to the Head-On Radio Network.
We know you want to save big on your phone bill, and we know how you can.
That's right. We do.
We're saving more than 50% on our home phone bill since we switched to CityNet's digital phone plan.
Really? Over 50%?
CityNet's digital phone plan is only $24.95 a month.
Only $24.95?
You get unlimited local and long-distance calling.
Just $24.95.
And with CityNet's digital phone plan, you keep your current number. All you need is a high-speed internet connection. Get details at citynet.net.
$24.95.
And, oh, this is cool. With CityNet's digital plan, I can use my home phone anywhere in the world with high-speed internet. No extra cost.
There's 20, and there's 4, and there's 95.
Did I mention CityNet is a West Virginia-owned company?
Did I mention $24.95?
Save at least 50% on your residential phone. Get unlimited local and long distance, and keep your same number, all for just $24.95 a month. Visit citynet.net today for more details. Some exclusions and restrictions may apply.
It wasn't exactly planes, trains, and automobiles on Head On with Bob Kincaid.
This is what the Bush administration Justice Department didn't want you to see back in 2001. They took out and they huffed the marker a little bit, and then they went, oh, cool. And they wiped out the name where it says, the plane was chartered either by the Saudi Arabian royalty family or Osama bin Laden. Somebody's got to call up and say, good afternoon. Thank you for calling Ryan International Flights. How may I help you?
Hello. This is Osama bin Laden, and I would like to rent a Boeing 727. Do you have one handy?
Oh, just a moment. Let me check. It's a Mr. bin Laden wants to know if we got a 727. Do we, Harry, do we have a 727?
Yeah, we got a 727 just sitting there on the lot. Going cheap.
There's nothing here. Nothing to look at. Keep moving. Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. The, you know, the 6'7" Arab with the portable dialysis machine and the white robes.
Head On with Bob Kincaid, weeknights, 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern, only on the Head On Radio Network.
Everyone loves listening to music, but have you ever stopped to think about why it's great for kids to learn to play music? Hi, I'm Darius Rucker from Hootie and the Blowfish. These days, it seems people focus way too much on the economics of school music instead of an amazing positive effect it has on kids. It's such a thrill for a child when he or she gets the first instrument or masters a simple part on the flute or performs a showstopper with a school chorus. And there's so much music out there to play and listen to. When kids learn to appreciate a show tune, a Beethoven symphony, or an opera, in addition to what they hear on the radio, it only opens their young minds to the diversity of the world around them. Make sure your kids learn to love music. Support your school music program.
A PSA brought to you by MENC, the National Association for Music Education, and the National Anthem Project, the campaign to restore America's voice through music education. March is Music in Our Schools Month.
From Washington, more of the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. We're talking about the New Hampshire primary, and I do want to hear from you. Who do you support and why? What candidate do you support? The toll-free number is 877-4-HEAD-ON, 877-443-2366. A lot of people posted on the blog when I asked that question, and so I want to read to you what some of my posters have said. We have here, Bob writes, Hillary so far seems to be the best informed. And when he took the online test, she came out on top for him at 39, followed by Kucinich, 37, Dodd, 37, and then Obama, 34. By the way, when I took the online quiz, and I've taken several, I seem to pop up with Hillary and Kucinich too, which is strange because you think of them as, you know, quite different. Yet those are the ones that pop up for me. But Obama's always close, so that doesn't decide it for me, but that's Bob's opinion. Someone who calls him or herself Hillary says, vote for me, please. This person writes on my blog, people are picking up that Hillary really represents the past, a past we can't return to. She tries to cite 36 years of government experience at what? Being an enabling first lady for a cuckolding husband? She's already shown what lengths she will bend for political convenience. As a senator, she has shown herself to be a dupe in important issues of foreign affairs. A vote for Hillary is a vote for business as usual, to acquiescing to the demands of the military-industrial complex. Obama is rising as a rock star. Maybe the only way to stop him is to kill him. Then we'll be able to compare our democracy with Pakistan. You know, to this writer, I would say, I think you're overly harsh. I don't think, you know, Hillary represents the past. The past under Bill Clinton wasn't so bad. I mean, we can argue about certain things that Bill Clinton did, and I might agree with you. He was not a perfect president. But Bill Clinton was, in my lifetime, the best president. My niece had a school project, and the school project was to ask someone to answer who was the best president in their lifetime. And I went back and thought about my lifetime and was surprised to learn that, in my view, Bill Clinton was the best president in my lifetime. Maybe I haven't lived long enough to see a good president. But he was very good. I think she would continue in that respect. I do know that she's brilliant, I'll tell you that. At Yale Law School, I learned that Bill Clinton got third in his class and Hillary Clinton got first in her class. She knows all the policy matters very clearly. I think it's unfair to say she was simply an enabling first lady. I think that when she was elected with Bill Clinton, they made clear they were a pair then, and they would be a pair now. Now, the other part that this writer raises, whether she'd be a dupe in important issues of foreign affairs, you know, I don't know. When you're a senator, it's very different from when you're president of the United States. When you're a senator, you have to look at what they feed you. Now, it's true. She did not get what people like Bob Graham, for example, of Florida got, that the National Intelligence Estimate of 2002 was papering over the claims that Saddam Hussein had weapons of mass destruction, was putting, you know, a few things in the main text and all the secrets in the footnotes. She didn't get that. But and so you're right, this person who writes, to criticize her for that. And yet I do think a president has far more power to get the truth from the intelligence agencies than a member of Congress. I don't think a vote for Hillary is a vote for business as usual. You can argue that she's not strong enough. That's fair, that she wouldn't attack the military as much as some others. But I do think that's a bit harsh. Next one, Madeline writes, I like John Edwards the best. He represents the average American more in my views on government. But that said, I will vote for any Democrat that is a candidate. The Republican rule of the last many years shows me they have lost complete touch with average Americans and represent corporations and big money, not the working guy that I represent. Thank you for that, Madeline. I agree with you. I think what John Edwards is saying is absolutely right and very strong. And I hope that if John Edwards doesn't get the nomination, and it looks like it's an uphill battle for him, that whoever is president, whether it be Hillary Clinton or Barack Obama, will use John Edwards to keep him around. You know, put him in charge of federal corporate regulation, if you want. Maybe we need a new department, new cabinet department. But we definitely need John Edwards is doing very strong things and very powerful things against the corporations. Next person who writes, this is Skip. There isn't anyone electable out there that grabs me. I would have been in Edwards' camp if he had voted against the initial war resolution. I watched the... Yeah, okay, fine, Skip, but Obama did, right? He was against the initial war resolution. Skip writes, I watched the Bill Moyers interview of the two banned candidates, Ron Paul and Dennis Kucinich, the other day. After reading all the blogs' enthusiasm for Paul, I was hoping to hear something real from the guy. But when Moyers tried to pin him down on exactly how he was going to implement his miraculous free market solutions in the age of corrupt mega-business, Paul sidestepped it like a typical politician. I would like to hear him discuss how big government is bad, but big business is good, especially since the latter is more expensive for us little people. I didn't watch much of the Kucinich interview. Skip, I agree with you about Ron Paul. I think that he gets a lot of praise precisely because he has been unfairly excluded, just as Dennis Kucinich has been unfairly excluded. And there are many things I like about Ron Paul. He definitely stands up for the Constitution. He stands up for our civil rights, for the fact that we don't want the government spying on us. He's right on issues like drug laws, reform of drug laws. But you're absolutely right. Ron Paul is not exactly about regulating business. He's not at all against the corporations. He's not at all like John Edwards fighting their power. He basically believes that government should do nothing. And sometimes the government should do nothing. I mean, when it comes to war in Iraq, Ron Paul is absolutely right. But when it comes to regulating corporations, I don't want the government to do nothing. And Ron Paul, by the way, is terrible on gay issues. He's terrible on civil rights. He's against the Civil Rights Act of 1964. So I respect Ron Paul as someone who's consistent, but I would never consider voting for him. Skip writes, here's my dream question for all of them. Will you immediately reinstate the Constitution and Bill of Rights in their entirety by killing the Patriot Act and these signing statements? Well, we definitely need this adherence to the Constitution. I would like to hear more of all the candidates. They say it, and I think they believe it, but I don't hear Obama and Clinton and Edwards and Richardson talk a lot about the fact that we have a Bill of Rights, that we don't need the government spying on us, that we don't want the government torturing people. They'll say it. I mean, I thought Hillary Clinton very strongly talked against torture, but really only when asked. It's not brought up as much. And I think it's a good point. Let's go on down the blog. There's so many people who've written so many things here, and I want to make sure each of you get your points in. Robert writes, he's holding with Edwards, with Obama closing the gap, and Clinton a third choice. He says that Robert writes that Edwards has been pretty much vetted from his vice presidential run with Kerry. They didn't have a lot to throw at him then. And that's, by the way, one difference between Edwards and Clinton and Obama. Obama's new on the scene. You have to wonder what they're going to throw at him. One of the reasons I'm glad that Obama didn't just walk away with this is that I want time to look into his closets. I want time, as Obama says, to kick the tires. I want to know what they're going to throw at him because I know they can't throw anything more at Hillary. They've been throwing stuff at her for 20 years, and I don't think that they can find much more on Edwards, as Robert points out. But I want to see what they're going to throw at Obama. I want to see how he deals with it. I want to see how he deals with adversity. So that may very well help me decide who I'm going to vote for. But Robert writes that Edwards handled Cheney in the debate very professionally well. He speaks of a complete health care. Robert goes on to write that about Edwards dealing with corporate excesses, he's Fox News' target of sliming. They hate and fear him enough to try to carve him out of the race on their airwaves. And then again, Fox has been denigrating Clinton, which promotes Clinton to me. Fox took their early shots at Obama over the madrasa. Robert, Fox is going to attack any Democrat, no matter who it is. And you're right, they've been attacking all three. Robert writes that Edwards has been trying to stay away from big corporate money. I like that for some odd reason. Maybe about who you owe once you get there. I view Edwards as being more specific on many issues than Obama, Robert writes. Clinton gives clues on how she will work for the existing system. Most want change. Edwards promotes faster change than Clinton does, slightly faster than Obama. I think his law background will serve us well. And it does sound divisive when he speaks about two Americas. There's no way to confront it in a general way. Robert, I agree with a lot of what you have to say. I think, I hope, the thing that I've gotten from all these debates is I want to see them all together. I mean, if Hillary Clinton wins this, let her choose Barack Obama as vice president so he can be a rising star and the next president when she's gone. Or vice versa. Barack Obama wins, he should choose Hillary Clinton as vice president. John Edwards, maybe he should be the Attorney General of the United States. Joe Biden could be Secretary of State. Richardson could be in there as Secretary of Commerce, perhaps. Kucinich could be in there as a new cabinet-level position, the Department of Peace. I think they could all work together and do a pretty good job. I don't know. I guess I'm in a good mood because I think we do have a lot of good choices. I'm not as down on the various Democratic choices as some of you are. I, frankly, at this point, would be so happy to have a Democrat in office to finally stop digging from under the detritus that is George Bush. But I want to hear from you. If you want to write on the blog and let me know what you think, I'm reading your comments right now. Just go to RadioInsideScoop.com and I'll read them to you. If you want to call in and talk with me, please don't hesitate. Let me know who you support and why you support that candidate. The toll-free number is 877-4-HEAD-ON, 877-443-2366. We'll be right back after this.
You're listening to The Horn, the head-on radio network.
This is Bill O'Brien with a message that pretty much defines Concord University. It's from Emily Dickinson. There is no frigate like a book to take us lands away, nor any courses like a page of prancing poetry. This traverse may the poorest take without oppressive toll. How frugal is the chariot that bears a human soul. Respect for learning, a mission to deliver education that touches souls, consideration to what students can afford, career rewards that pay dividends far beyond the dollars earned. At Concord, we've never crossed that important line between the business of education and education as a business. The first is extremely serious. It changes lives and connects with the moral and the spiritual. We're good at that. The second is no less serious. It raises ethical concerns, however. We avoid that. Concord University, the frugal chariot that bears human souls. Call the Concord Admissions Office, 1-888-384-5249.
I'm Matt Rothschild, the editor of the Progressive Magazine, with my progressive point of view, which you can also grab off our website over at progressive.org. It could have been a lot of things. It could have been Hillary's superior get-out-the-vote team. It could have been Bill's lingering appeal in New Hampshire. It could have been Obama's lackluster debate performance Saturday night, playing it too cool and too safe, and letting Edwards, who wins just about every debate, do the fighting for him. It could have been that the Clintons raised enough doubts about Obama in the last 48 hours to pull the late deciders to their camp. It could have been the famous Teary incident. It could have been women outraged by the hideous iron my shirt hecklers. It could have been the phenomenon of white folks telling pollsters they're going to vote for the black guy, but when they get into the privacy of the booth, they can't quite bring themselves to it. But whatever the combination of reasons, the race is now on, and it promises to get uglier. Bill Clinton gave us that indication loud and clear on Tuesday when it still looked like Hillary might lose. He wagged his finger and stared directly into the camera with that same mean, trapped Wolverine snarl that he showed us when he talked about not having sexual relations with that woman. And then he distorted Obama's record on the Iraq War, of all things. Obama should watch his back. The Clintonites have gained on him, and it's not going to be pretty from here on out. They play dirty, and they play for keeps. I'm Matt Rothschild, and that's how I see it.
This is the story about a group of kids who volunteered.
We fixed stuff. Did some art projects with the kids.
Cleaned up the park.
We worked in the woods.
I just wanted to do something.
We fixed up this house.
Did something for the planet.
Hey, that was all I needed. And you know what? It was great.
It was a blast.
At first, they didn't know each other.
I didn't know anyone.
Well, that didn't last long.
This guy is really funny.
Me?
These are my new friends. These are really good new friends.
Are you into it?
Are You Into It is a volunteer program for kids like you who care. If you want to make a difference in your community and make friends, call 4-H toll-free at 1-888-77-YOUTH or check out our website at www.areyouintoit.com.
This definitely made a difference.
I feel like I can do everything now.
Yeah! A public service message brought to you by 4-H, the Cooperative Extension System, and the Ad Council.
From Washington, back to the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. We're discussing the New Hampshire primary and who you support for president and why. And, heck, I will get to the Republicans, too, eventually. It's just that, well, you know, to me, any Democrat's better than any Republican running in this race. So I haven't that much to say about them, but I do want to hear from you and why you support the candidate that you support. Let's go to Juanita in Florida. Juanita, welcome to the Inside
Mark,
Group.
I've been missing you. I've been missing you.
Well, thank you. It's good to be back. Happy New Year.
I enjoyed your give and take with that Republican yesterday.
Yeah, well, one of the nice things about Mike Lane is that he's drunk the Kool-Aid. He's a true believer, and so I sometimes feel like if I can't attack Cheney, at least I have someone sitting in his stead to go after. Tell me who you support,
I'm
Juanita.
About the election, I'm very happy that for Hillary, I felt so bad the way they treated her, and you know if I could have three of them all together, that would be great. But she's not left enough from me. Mm-hmm. I admire her, and I know she would work her brains out. I mean, the woman's so smart and so hardworking. Hello?
You know, I'm here. I'm listening to you.
I'm sorry. I didn't hear you.
No, I'm listening to you. No, go ahead.
I didn't know if I was cut off or what.
You're not cut off. No. I'm just being quiet and listening to you because I think you have a lot of interesting things to say. Go ahead.
Edwards.
Okay.
Because I want somebody that will just go in there and just, like FDR, you know, and just slash, 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 and change, change, change. And I like what he has said, and I was really felt bad after. I think Obama would be great. Like you said, any of the Democrats that we have running. But I don't know that a whole lot about him.
That's the thing about Obama, and it's
great, but
you know he worries me too. I tell you, it's not like I can find a false note. I mean, his speech last night was beautiful and heart stirring, and everything he said, I just agreed 100% with. And part of it is just that he's new to the scene, and I just want to know more about him. That's why I'm glad it's still a race, because I think that if he were just running to victory without any challenge, then we wouldn't find out about him. Let's see how he works under adversity.
Right.
But
I totally agree. I really felt let down. You know, it's not that I wouldn't want him or wouldn't support him. I would certainly support him. But I think this will make the race a lot better, and if Evers can manage to stay in, I think maybe he can influence them more and more. I don't know what
I think he already is.
Pardon?
Juanita, I think he's already influencing them. I noticed in both Obama and Clinton's speech, did you notice that both of them took on corporations? I mean, it was great. And one of the things that happens in a primary, and it's a great thing, is that the candidates steal from each other. And not only do I not think that's a bad thing, I think it's a terrific thing. One of the nice things about a primary campaign is we learn from each other. And, you know, if they take ideas from Dennis Kucinich, you know, to be a little bit stronger against the Republic, that's terrific. If they get listen, it's not that I don't think that they all want to attack corporations. Did you notice that Hillary Clinton said, I'm going to go after the healthcare companies. I'm going to go after the insurance companies.
Uh-huh.
I mean, that was straight out of Edwards' speech.
Right.
I think he is influencing her. And I think that's a good thing.
And, we need so much change. Not just about the war. There's just so many things that need to be changed.
It's true. We have an America that really just doesn't care about the ordinary American anymore.
Right.
It's all about the extremely wealthy. It's all about the corporations. It's amazing how much, I mean, even to the point, have you noticed that the Republicans are starting to use some of our rhetoric? Not that I think they believe it for a second, but you know, even Mike Huckabee is talking about he'd rather be with the guy who gets fired than the guy who does the firing. And I'm thinking to myself, Huckabee, that's a Democratic one.
Yeah, but you know, Huckabee, he's very intelligent, and he scares me because he can really talk a good talk. You know,
Huckabee is scary. I mean, Huckabee is definitely a wolf in sheep's clothing. You know, he doesn't even believe in evolution. I do think if he were the nominee, you know, I think we could beat him because I think that, you know, all of his really extreme stuff that he said, like
that's
quarantining
okay.
people with AIDS. I know that, I'll tell you, though, he scares so many people. I know, for example, Bob Kincaid thinks I'm an idiot for saying things like that because he says, Mark, don't do that. You know, you promote Huckabee and you might end up with Huckabee. I have a good friend of mine who is so scared about Huckabee that, and I think he's dead wrong for doing this, but he gave, now he's a Democrat, and he gave money to McCain just because he doesn't want to see Huckabee
please.
In there. I know, and I'm like, I don't want to see McCain in there, please. Huckabee may be worse than McCain, but McCain would still appoint terrible Supreme Court justices. He's still, you know, anti-choice on abortion. He's still against gay rights. You know, McCain may be an honest man, but the policy supports, I mean, look at the Iraq War forever on McCain. But, it's very interesting. You know, in some ways, I guess I'd rather Mitt Romney precisely because he's the most awful. I mean, he seems the one, again, I think that would be easiest to beat. But it's a very dangerous game. And so, you know, I don't know. I'm staying out of it. I'll kind of see who the Republicans
are. Yeah, it is, because they're going to fight. You talk about fighting dirty.
Oh, I know.
We haven't.
They're
going to
fight
yet.
Very, very dirty. And that's honestly part of my fear with Obama. And so that's why I want to see the skeletons in his closet. I want to know them all now. Let's get them all out. Okay, he used some drugs when he was a kid. I don't care. That's fine. You know, what else is there? They tried to claim he went to a madrasa, you know, a Muslim school. That was false. Okay, what else is there? Let's get it all out now because I'm afraid of the Swift voters. I know they're going to do this. I know Karl Rove is. And that's why it's interesting to me when all the Republicans were salivating over the demise of Hillary Clinton. And that made me wake up and say, huh? Why are they so happy that Obama's beating her? Do they think Obama would be the easier choice to beat? I don't know. But when it's like a big, massive chess game, and I'm not even sure I know the rules.
Right.
I hear what you're saying, though, and I think Edwards is definitely doing. I really think that I'd love to see Hillary Clinton or Barack Obama or John Edwards, any of them, say that they would use each other. One of the things I really liked is when there was a question to Barack Obama, and they asked him, with all the ex-Clinton people in your campaign, you know, how are you going to change from Hillary Clinton? And Hillary Clinton said, I'd like to see you answer that one. To which point Barack Obama gave a terrific answer. He said, Hillary, I'd like to have your advice as well.
Right.
All of them have a lot to offer. And I would love to see.
Edwards has said that he's going to get the best people to advise him on whatever he doesn't know, and he's going to listen.
Right. I think they all need each other. Like I said, you know, if Hillary Clinton wins, let Barack Obama be vice president, let John Edwards be attorney general, let Joe Biden be secretary of state.
I think attorney general would be great for.
I think it'd be the perfect thing for John Edwards. He would be a perfect attorney general. Think about it. He would end all this nonsense with the torture and the warrantless wiretapping. He is a lawyer. He knows the law. And what better way to go up against corporations than to be the most powerful lawyer
and
in the country?
He wouldn't back down. I don't
believe
he would back
down. And I'll tell you something. I don't think it's beyond question that a Barack Obama or Hillary Clinton wouldn't have him as attorney general. I think that would be a great choice.
Yeah, I do.
And I think they might just do that. So. You know,
Biden used as Secretary of State, he would talk him to this because he loves to hear him talk.
He probably would, but you know what? That may not be a bad thing. I could just see, you know, the rulers of Iran, and they're saying, okay, Joe, do whatever you want.
Right.
You never know. It might just work out.
And, you know, I think another difference between Republicans and Democrat, or at least a Republican we got now, whatever the guy is that he won't ask for help from anybody.
No,
and you
true.
Know, Democrats will. They'll have to ask it from any kind of party.
Well, you know, no one has a monopoly on truth. No one has a monopoly on good ideas. It's vital that we all listen to each other. And that's why I thought that bringing Hillary down to earth and then bringing Barack Obama down to earth, too, was terrific. The fact that Hillary Clinton understood, maybe not before Iowa, but definitely after Iowa, she's got to listen to voters. And Barack Obama now understands that he has to listen to voters.
Absolutely. I think you're right on.
That's a good thing. Hey, thanks for your call. I appreciate
it. Okay. Bye-bye.
Let's go to Jennifer from Washington State. Jennifer, welcome to the Inside Scoop.
Hi, Mark.
Hello, hello.
It's powerful.
Who are you backing in this race?
Dennis Kucinich, all the
Dennis
way.
Dennis Kucinich, all the way.
Yes. And I will tell you why.
Go ahead.
Because Dennis wants to get rid of the World Trade Organization. He wants to get rid of NAFTA. He has promised that his first thing he will do if he's in the White House bring charges against Cheney and Bush, and I believe that. He is a union supporter. He is definitely for the working class. He has been homeless, so he understands that problem. He's just, everything he believes in, I believe in. And he wants Medicare for everyone.
And your dogs like him, too.
With the insurance companies at all anymore. It will,
right.
If he's elected, purely non-profit insurance for everyone. And I think that's as it should be. The reason I say that is I've been a nurse for 35 years, and I understand the process. I've also, I'm also trained to do billing and stuff. I understand the processes. I understand the differences between for-profit and not-for-profit insurance. And believe me, this country needs not-for-profit insurance. We need it desperately. We have 7 million uninsured and 50 million underinsured. And people with insurance are dying because the companies don't want to pay for diagnostic studies and the proper treatment. So I think, you know, that is my biggest issue. And Dennis wants to go all the way with that, and so I support him 100%. And if he doesn't win the primary, and he probably won't, I will vote for the Green candidate, which I'm hoping will be Cynthia McKinney.
Okay, that's where I disagree with you the strongest. I think it's fine to vote and support Dennis Kucinich. As I said when talking with Juanita, you know, even if your candidate doesn't win, they can influence the others. Even if John Edwards doesn't win, he's influencing the others with his talk about corporate greed. I think Dennis Kucinich can play a major positive role in influencing the others and prodding them toward single-payer health insurance and health care, in prodding them toward investigating the crimes of Bush and Cheney. I think Kucinich does a lot of good for our party.
I do,
and I think it's great that you're supporting him. And in supporting him in a primary, you're not only not hurting the Democratic Party, I think you're helping the Democratic Party. You're helping push them in the direction you want them to go. You're giving Dennis Kucinich a place at the table. You're making it more likely that he will be used by a future Democratic president if he gets 5% instead of 2% as people reach out to his supporters. That's all good. The part that scares me, the only part that scares me is that last line you told me, where you said that if he doesn't win the nomination, you're going to vote for the Green Party. That I think would be a real mistake, and particularly in a state like Washington State that could go either way. Washington State is not, you know, Massachusetts, New York, California. It's not Texas. It's not a state that is strongly blue or strongly red.
It
leans toward the blue.
Western Washington is strongly blue. Eastern
right,
Washington,
no, I understand that, but
not.
But because we need Washington State's electoral votes, and they're very important, and I think you have 10, so it's a significant state, it's crucial. No Democratic victory can happen, that, as I can see, without Washington State. You know, and it's a state that, as I recall, barely went to Kerry in 04. I think it was just by a few points.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be concerned if you were to vote for, again, support Dennis Kucinich in the primary all you want, but I'd be very concerned if you voted for a Green candidate in the final presidential election, unless it was going to be a blowout. If you tell me, you know, that the Democrats 10 points ahead, then fine, vote your heart. But the way our system is, and I don't like it, I would change it. I like the Louisiana system where you have, if it's not, you don't have a candidate winning a majority, you get a runoff. I like that. But
like
given
that
the system the way it is, I really think that if you vote for a Green Party candidate in November, that you may be helping the Republican. I mean, how horrible would it be if the Republican won in Washington and that was enough to win the election, and you knew that if you and, say, you know, 5,000 of your Green friends had voted for the Democrat would have won. And then we had a Republican choosing Supreme Court justices. You know, I look at a case like New Hampshire. In New Hampshire, you don't have to look at Florida, where there was clearly corruption and stealing an election and all that kind of stuff. I look at New Hampshire. In New Hampshire in 2000, Al Gore lost to George Bush by 7,000 votes. And in New Hampshire in 2000, Ralph Nader got 23,000 votes. If less than a third of those Ralph Nader supporters had held their nose and voted for Al Gore, he would be president today, even though they were cheating in Florida.
You
so
know what,
I just
think people blame Nader for that, and I blame Lieberman more than anything. I think had Al Gore chosen a different running mate, we would have had a completely different outcome. I think Lieberman turned a lot of people from Al Gore to Nader. I really do.
You know, that may be true. I'll tell you, Joe Lieberman was not seen in 2000 the way we see him today. I mean, he was clearly on the more moderate edge of the Democratic Party, but he was definitely not the proto-Republican he is today. I think the Iraq War really, really moved Joe Lieberman farther to the right. Lieberman was not my first choice for Al Gore to pick, and clearly in hindsight it was a mistake. I still like Al Gore. He's not a perfect man either. But, you know, whatever you think about Al Gore or any of them, he's leagues better than George Bush. What I say is vote your heart in the primaries. By all means, vote your heart. Vote Dennis Kucinich in the primaries. But when it comes to the general election, you got to vote the lesser of two evils. That's
you
just
know
the,
something,
the
Mark? I hear people saying over and over and over, we need a third party. We need a third party. Well, we have five parties. We have the Greens, we have the Independents, and we have
the dozens of parties. We have dozens of parties
so
that never...
why in the world are people wishing for a third party? This is not
I think they're dreaming.
Race. We do not bet on winners. We make winners.
I think that people voting for a third party are dreaming. The last time a third party won an election was 1860.
But
1860, 150 years ago, and that was when we were on the verge of Civil War.
They're timid about it. They hold their nose, and they vote for the lesser of two evils, which is still evil. And I'm sorry, I've been doing that all my life, and I'm not doing it again.
Well, like I say, please, vote your heart in the primary. Vote for Dennis Kucinich in the primary. But you got to vote for the lesser of two evils, because I'll tell you, no politician anywhere, even Dennis Kucinich, is going to support what you support 100% of the time, I don't think. The only person who you know will support your views 100% of the time is yourself, and we can't all run for president. So you're always voting for – I mean, Bill Clinton's imperfect. Hillary Clinton's imperfect. Al Gore's imperfect. You just mentioned his choice of Lieberman, which I agree was not the best choice. You know, none of these people are perfect, but when you compare – let's say it's the worst Democrat you can imagine. I don't know whether that's Hillary Clinton for you. Probably it is. Compare Hillary Clinton.
No, I could not in good conscience vote for Hillary under any circumstances.
Why not? Compare her, say, to John McCain.
Hillary is too corporate.
Or Huckabee.
Oh, I couldn't vote for him at all. I mean, I would.
No, I know that. But what I'm saying is that Hillary Clinton would be infinitely better than John McCain or Huckabee or Romney.
Of course she would. She would be better
okay.
than any of those creeps they've got running for the Republican.
Of course.
Those people are a pack of losers.
Well, that's my point. That's why I really hope I can convince
you. My vote isn't going to make that much difference, and I'm sure going to sleep a lot better if I vote the way I think I should.
Well, can't you vote for Kucinich in the primary and sleep better? Do you have to risk the general election vote? That's my concern, really. It's the November vote. Like I say, I think you should vote your heart in the primary. I think that's what primaries are all about. If Ralph Nader had any cojones, he would have run in the Democratic primary. That's the way you do it. You know, the idea that a third party candidate can win at a local level, maybe at a state level. But as I say, at the national level, unless we start really changing our constitutional system, I just don't think it's possible. I think you got to vote for
an independent in Congress.
Right, we have a few. Lieberman's an independent. Jeffords is an independent. Bernie Sanders, who's a socialist. So he's an independent on the left rather than an independent in the middle. And I love Bernie Sanders, and I think he's a great guy, and I would vote for him if I lived in Vermont. But I don't think Bernie Sanders, as much as I love him, could successfully win an election for president of the United States. Do you?
You know, it's interesting. You're probably right. And what I find fascinating about him and Kucinich is this. Kucinich is really a socialist. He's not a Democrat.
Right.
And, he can call himself a Democrat. But I know I'm a socialist, and he and I agree with everything.
Which is why I firmly support your supporting him in the primary. I just would say that come November, we'll have some time between November. You and I are going to have this discussion, I know, more than just today. We're going to talk about this a lot as November approaches. Please, by all means, vote for Kucinich, give money
to most Americans lean to the left and are very socialistic in what they want from their candidates.
Most Americans, Jennifer?
Most Americans, yes.
I don't believe most Americans are socialists. Do you really believe that?
Yes.
I mean,
don't know it.
I think most Americans, look, I mean, I have to tell you, I'm not socialist. I believe in a combination of capitalism and socialism, okay? And I think most Americans agree with me. I don't think pure socialism works. And I'll just tell you why, in my view, and you can disagree with me. In my view, you need some capitalism, because in a pure socialist system, and I know of them, in Israel, they have the kibbutz, which is as pure a socialist system as I know of. And that's where everyone works, you know, as hard as they can, and then they, you know, they provide for everyone. It's a little, now, you know, there's like a few thousand people. It's not a whole country. But they work, and they provide for each other. And the problem, and I've been on kibbutzes, and people complain, oh, this one's not working hard enough, this one's not working hard enough, because you're not rewarded for the amount of work you do. You're rewarded, everyone's rewarded the same. And so there's an incentive not to work very hard. I think we need some capitalism.
I'm not a socialist then, because I don't believe in that either. I think people should be rewarded for what they do.
Well, then I think what I think we need in America, and I don't, we may disagree on the amount, but I think we need a combination of capitalism and socialism. In other words, we need socialism to have a floor. You need socialism to have, make sure that everyone gets health care in America. No one goes hungry. Everyone has shelter. Everyone gets an education. Everyone has an equal opportunity to succeed. But then, once you have that equal opportunity, in my view, then if you think of a great idea, if you're an entrepreneur, if you've got a great, you know, way to help, then yes, you should be able to get more money, because that gives you an incentive to be innovative, to create new things.
Yes, I don't disagree with that at all. No,
okay, well then I would argue that you are, you may not believe it, but you believe in socialism and capitalism. Now don't get me wrong, pure capitalism is awful. Pure capitalism is America 100 years ago in the time of the sweatshops where workers were just killed right and left as they tried to work. Pure capitalism is hell. In my view, you need a combination. You can argue whether you need more socialism or more capitalism, but I think that the best system involves using both, giving equal opportunity for all.
I think so.
I'm sorry.
Too. And I think that, you know, where we are now in this country is very, very sad. I think we're moving backward. We're moving
backward. We've moved far backward.
Did you read Naomi Klein's book, The Shock Doctrine?
I'm sorry. Part of the problem is I'm looking at the clock, Jennifer, and we're running out of time, so make it real quick.
Okay. Okay, well, goodbye.
I tell you what, we will definitely continue this discussion another time. I very much like talking with you, and I'd love for you to call in again. We can have long philosophical discussions on capitalism and socialism, but for now, I do have to wrap it up. Thank you very much for calling in. And I look, I think Dennis Kucinich is a big boon to the party. I think he pushes the Democratic Party to the left. He pushes the Democratic Party where it needs to go. I fully am glad that all of you that are supporting him are doing so. I hope he has a voice in the Democratic Party in the future. But please, come November, please don't vote for a third party. I can't handle another Republican. If we have a George Bush-like person for a third term, I may have to go to Canada. That's all for the Inside Scoop. Tune in tomorrow. We'll have more. This is Mark Levine signing off.
I've seen them. But they're a team that could beat a lot of Division I-A teams. They easily could have beat some even better teams than Michigan this year. A lot of pros come out of that division of football. People write it off like it's 40, 50 years ago. That division...
Well, howdy! About 1 minute past the hour, and we are on top of another program in this new year. Another program brought to you by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. Dedicated people, devoted people. People as concerned with saving this nation as any other group that I'm aware of. Understanding that saving this nation begins with saving the ground that this nation rests upon. CRMW.net. Be a member. It's not expensive. Be a part of the solution. Coal River Mountain Watch. Well, it's awfully nice.